Hallelujah. The highest praise. Amen. Let's show VOP some love this morning. Amen. And definitely to our special guest this morning, grateful to have her come and join us. Recognizing our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryant, the featured speaker for the Women's Mini Retreat. So we're grateful for her. To our own Deacon Andrew and to our deacons, officers, members, all that is present. We do thank God for this another blessing to come together at such a time as this. When we look around at the world, we look around at our country, our state, our city, even in our families. And some of us can just look around in our own doctor's report. In times like these, we need the Lord. He's letting us know that we can't make it without him. On last Sunday, we started a series of sermons based on 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In that passage, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but only God. We read into your hearing 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. We ask that there be a blessing to God's word. This morning, I wanted to focus on Apollos. Before we talk about Apollos watered, I think we need to spend a little time to get to know who Apollos is. Paul says in this chapter, he says, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? He said, but servants whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. And we just want to deal with this morning, who is Apollos? This morning, I want to introduce to some and present to others perhaps the greatest gospel preacher you never heard, the greatest gospel preacher you probably never really studied, a man formed by God, filled with fire and humble enough to grow. To understand Apollos or know who Apollos is and why Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered, you have to kind of understand his backstory. For you see, in the gospel, in the book of Acts, Luke writes in chapter 18 that Apollos was a native of Alexandria. Alexandria, Egypt. He was a Jew from Alexandria, Egypt. And Alexandria was a multiplex. It was filled with Greeks. It was filled with Egyptians. And it was a place that Jews found as a home. It was a place where Alexander the Great had carried people and brought people and created Alexandria, a city that was diverse, a city on the coast. So they had people coming and going. It was a educated place. It was a lot of information. Schools and learning was from Alexandria. And Alexandria is the birthplace of the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. So now you get to understand that Apollos, he came from Alexandria. And Alexandria, you leave, every kid graduates high school learning at least three languages. They at least knew Greek, they at least knew Egypt languages, and they also knew Hebrew. It's the only city outside of Jerusalem that had a large Jewish and a Hebrew-speaking population. It was a city of libraries, a city of scholars. It is here that Apollos was trained. In Alexandria, he would have taken elementary classes on Hebrew. He would have taken middle school classes in Greek. He would have taken high school classes on the formation of the scripture. For you see, Paul was not the only one that was educated from Jerusalem. Apollos was highly educated from Alexandria. And from there, we're told that he comes to Ephesus. Now, you may not understand biblical geography, but let me give you a quick run through. Paul travels to Corinth and established the church in Corinth. He leaves Corinth and then travels to Ephesus. And there's already a small believing group in Ephesus. Apollos, he travels to Ephesus and then leaves Ephesus and travels to Corinth. So him and Paul are going in two different directions. As Paul writes in the book of Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered. If Apollos was to write to the church at Ephesus, Apollos could easily have said, I planted and Paul watered, but God has made it grow. For you see, Apollos had a key role in the formation of Ephesus. Now, you may not be familiar with Ephesus. Now, Ephesus has an epistle written to it. Also, Timothy was in Ephesus, so that's two more epistles that were written to that city. The apostle John retired after he got off the island of Patmos. He retires in Ephesus, so 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John was written from Ephesus. And the book of Revelation records a letter to the angel of Ephesus. This was an important city in the formation of Christianity, and it was not established from Jerusalem. It was established from Alexandria, Egypt, when Apollos gets there. And so when Paul says, I planted and Apollos watered, we need to know who Apollos is. So first, Luke tells us in the book of Acts chapter 18 that he was from Alexandria. He tells us that he was a learned man and thorough knowledge of the scriptures. Back then, the scripture would have been the Old Testament. And if they're doing the translation in Alexandria in a city that Apollos was from, we see that he became learned and very knowledgeable about the scripture. He became real knowledgeable and he was able to preach. He spoke with great fervor. You see, he had charisma. He had the next level, supernatural kind of charisma. Apollos was the kind of guy that could talk a hungry dog off a meat wagon. He could sell a used car to a used car salesman. He could sell ice in Alaska. This dude was a fluent speaker, charismatic. He was the kind dude. We have some today from Barack Obama, Jesse Jackson, Martin Luther King that had that charisma, make people want to hear them. I remember it was 1999. Promised Land had built the new facility, and they had invited T.D. Jakes to do the blessing of the building, I guess. And I was in town, and so I went to go hear T.D. Jakes. And he's one of those filled with that charisma, and he was preaching, and he moved, and I remember the sermon he preached that day, touched my heart, moved my life. And then when it came time for the offering, he said, it's 1999. We're asking everyone in here to give 1999. And I was excited, filled with excitement, enthusiasm. And he said, don't worry about it. This money ain't coming to me. I got mine before I even came to Austin. All of this stays in Austin, 1999. Man, I held up my 20 and put my 20 in the offering and told the usher, keep the change. I don't. Gave up my 20. Next morning, I was at my former fellowship and it came time for offering at the church I was serving in. Started filling around in my pockets for my 20. And then thought about it. I done gave my 20 across town. I said, how that dude talked me out? That's the kind of charisma that Apollos had. Apollos had the kind of charisma that when he was done preaching, you felt like you had to do something. I hope sometime in your life you've heard the preacher preach and it pricked your heart. Heard the preacher preach and you wanted to give the preacher your hand and give God your heart. The preacher preached and you gave up sin. That's the kind of preacher that Apollos was, the kind of preacher that'll make you sit up and sit up straight or stir something within you, the kind of preacher that make you want to feel and do better. He preached with fire and with conviction. He had charisma. He had content. He understood the scripture. He could move the crowd. And we're told that Apollos came to Ephesus. The gospel came to Ephesus, not from Jerusalem, but from Apollos. Apollos was a disciple of John the Baptist. Now, I know many of us are not familiar with the ministry of John. We just see him down there by the Jordan and baptizing a few people, and Jesus came and was baptized of him, and the dove came and rested upon him, and the voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I am well pleased. But John was the forerunner of Jesus. If anybody had charisma, it was John. John had, when John get done preaching, people wanted to get baptized for repentance. When John got through preaching, people was excited to go and share repentance for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when John got through preaching, people's lives would change. You remember John was preaching and even Herod came out to hear him. And John was not ashamed. And John told Herod that he was sinning and he too had to repent. But those who heard John would carry the message of John away from Jerusalem. They would carry that message of repentance. They would carry the message of the Messiah is coming. They would carry the message that the kingdom of God is at hand from far and wide. It even reached Alexandria, reaching Apollos. And now Apollos arrives in Ephesus. And we're told that he talked about Jesus in Ephesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. All he knew was the baptism of John, probably heard that Jesus came, did some miracles, wasn't really sure that Jesus was the Messiah, wasn't really sure that he was the Son of God, wasn't really sure, didn't know about the death, didn't know about the burial, didn't know about the resurrection, didn't know about the ascension, didn't know about the Spirit coming in Jerusalem. He didn't know any of that. All he preached was the baptism of John and knew a little about Jesus. But he was teachable. I was talking to somebody, you never get old when you're teachable. You never get old if you're always trying to learn something. If you ever get to the place where you know everything, just sit on down, just chill out. You know too much. You always got to be striving to learn something. And Apollos was willing to learn. After he preached in Ephesus, we're told that Priscilla and Aquila pulled him to the side. Now, Priscilla and Aquila was from Corinth. They were converts of Paul. And Paul does not confront Apollos. You missed that. You see, Paul confronted Peter when Peter wouldn't eat with Gentiles, but Paul didn't confront Apollos. He sends Priscilla and Aquila, and they teach him more fully the scripture. They teach him about Jesus. They teach him about him to being the Messiah. He was the one that John was predicting, that was prophesying about. He was the one to come. He was the Messiah. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It has come in the person of Jesus Christ. They taught him more fully the way of God. He was teachable. He learned from them. He grew from them. Even though he already had a large following, he was still willing to grow. And God can do more with a teachable spirit than he can with a talent one. You know, there's so many people that are talented but unteachable. You can meet them in middle school. They got a whole lot of talent, but you can't coach them up. I had a friend who was more talented than I was, way more talented than what I was. He could do anything on the football field. He was fast. He was strong. He could do anything, but he was unteachable. He was uncoachable. I, on the other hand, couldn't do all that, so I had to learn all I could. I had to figure it out on the other side. I couldn't make no mistakes, couldn't have the coach mad at me, cut me or something like that. Because God can do more with those that are teachable than those that are talented. And Apollos was talented and teachable. He learned from Priscilla and Aquila. His ministry grew from them. He was teachable. He was learned. He was talented. He had charisma. So let me paint the picture. If you ever get the chance, and when you get to heaven, look up Apollos. You will find him to be the greatest gospel preacher that you ever want to hear. Apollos arrives in Ephesus. He arrives from Alexandria. He's been preaching along the way. He get to Ephesus, and they have a 3-night revival. On Tuesday night, Apollos preached, and 1,000 are baptized in the baptism of John. Thousands are baptized in repentance. Thousands hearts are changed. Thousands accept the message. The kingdom of God is at hand, and to live with urgency. He preached, and afterwards they were baptized in the baptism of John. On Wednesday night, hump night, he comes back, and again he preaches from the Old Testament. Again he preaches from the apostles. Again he preaches, wash your hands and wash your heart. Get ready, get right. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thousands are again baptized. 1,000 are baptized in the baptism of John. Thursday night was supposed to be the closing night. Thursday night he came once again preaching the gospel of John. One more time he preached, prepare. One more time he said, look and expect, the Messiah is near. Thursday night he preached, get ready, get right, because the Lord is coming. After benediction, they had a little fellowship meal. And then Priscilla and Aquila pulls him to the side. He's tired. He wanted to preach 3 nights. He's ready to get back home, go back to Alexandria to get some rest. But they decide to have Bible study with them. They began to tell them how Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Tell them how he was reared in Nazareth. Tell them how he went about doing good, went about performing miracles, how he gave sight to the blind, how he healed the sick, told of his parables, told of his story, told of his deeds. Told them how he gave his life on the cross for your sins and mine. Told them that early Sunday morning, the rock was rolled away. Early Sunday morning, the tomb was empty. Early Sunday morning, he rose from the grave. And then on the day of Pentecost, he ascended into heaven and the Spirit of God came down on the people of God. And they began to speak in foreign tongues and people were saved. Apollo said, you know what? Call all those people I baptized them last three nights. Call them all together. We're going to have one more service on Friday night. And on that Friday night, he didn't preach about John. On Friday night, he didn't talk about repentance. He didn't talk about the baptism of John. That Friday night, he came preaching Jesus. That Friday night, he said, Jesus is his name. There is a name above every other name, and his name is Jesus. Believe in Jesus. And 3,000 that were baptized on Wednesday, that were baptized on Tuesday, that were baptized on Thursday, were baptized again on Friday night. But on Friday night, they were baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. And the church in Ephesus was born. Why? Because of this preacher from Alexandria by the name of Apollos. And brothers and sisters, I come by today to tell you that God is still using people. He's still using people that don't have the same background as we have. Didn't come up the same way we came up. Didn't come the traditional route. God is still using people. God is still calling Apollos from Alexandria. God is still calling people from foreign lands and calling them to be proclaimers of his word. And that's why Paul could say to the church at Corinth, I planted, but what Apollos did would not tear up what I planted. What Apollos did didn't dig up what I planted. What Apollos did didn't stomp on what I planted. I planted and Apollos watered. I formed the committees, but he provided the fire. I formed the ministry, but he provided the purpose. I provided the time. He provided the testimony. Apollos watered. When Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. He's not talking about somebody that under him. Like with Peter, he saw Peter as a peer. I'm an apostle to the Gentiles and Peter is the apostle to the Jews. He didn't see Apollos in that light. He saw Apollos as an equal. And Apollos was more talented in preaching than Paul. He was more charismatic. You ever hear Paul, you'll go to sleep. I mean, I'm telling you, it's in the Bible. It's actually in the Bible. He killed the dude through his preaching. He was bored to death by Paul's preaching. That's why God had to get Paul off the streets and have him write. No, you come on. You're a better writer than preacher. You got a mind for writing, not a mind for preaching. But God has Apollos. And he sent Apollos to be able to encourage, to build up, and to strengthen what Paul was planting. Not to recreate what Paul did, not to undo what Paul did, but build upon what Paul had planted. Paul planted, but Apollos watered. May God bless you and may God keep you today. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. There may be somebody here today that was moved to act. as the deacons and the greeters come, we invite you to come to our virtual community. If you would, put a word in the comments. We'll get back to you. We'll reach out to you. We don't want this day, this hour, this moment to pass without surrendering your life to the Lord. You can come as a candidate for baptism, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you already have a church home, you're traveling here, we can come under our watch care program. If you're already saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, but don't have a church to work out your soul salvation, we invite you to Ebenezer, a good place to grow. Will you come as the choir sing? We invite you to come as you are. Will you come?
Give me you. Everything else can wait.
Yes.
Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. 'Cause into me, oh Lord, I'm on my too late. Lord, give me you. 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 Lord, give me you.
To extend, it was yours to accept or reject. Now my clock says 10:35. Now we've been getting ready for church. We're gonna start all over. Do it again.